It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You are looking live at a stream of misery. Yes, we have gathered together to be miserable with you, any of you watching or eventually listening. Perhaps tomorrow you'll just decide to listen, because right now you're just laying down and avoiding the Chicago White Sox whenever they're live, which is not a bad strategy. Why aren't we doing that? Well, some of us are actually on this podcast, even though we are pretending we are all experts going minute to minute, pitch to pitch with the particular game that's going on right now. Apparently, a 0-0 game. However, White Sox signs. Oh, Hannah, give us the update. Hannah LaMotta, please.
We just got an RBI single to write.
You can't script this.
Not a close game.
We picked this date, I guess, because this is the game. I mean, you know, pace, stats, who cares? I know it's stupid. Whatever, Brett, put away your futility watch. But hey, what else we got to pay attention to other than the utter miserableness of the Chicago White Sox and the way they've gotten out of the gate this season? So, of course, we're going to do some sort of weird pacing stats where if there's a loss, as apparently we're just seven or eight innings away from now, we will actually pass the start of season pace of the 1899 Cleveland Spiders, which of course went on, not in the modern era, in the pre-modern era, in every era of baseball, Major League Baseball, to be the worst team really in history. And as many people pointed out, including myself, the Spiders have the additional advantage of actually having their team gutted, like intentionally gutted, before the season, because the owner had two teams. He put all the good players from the Spiders on his other team. And so they were left to just founder. White Sox, apparently, we don't know that that's the actual plan, but maybe it is. Maybe we'll find that out, that Jerry has another team somewhere that he's trying to, I don't know, conspire with to work the Dodgers. I don't know. Okay, well, we're live. Melissa, Sage, Bohlenbach, and who provided us the update, the live update, Hannah LaMotta, watching dutifully as this live event goes on. Come at us from the Ladies Night podcast and places elsewhere. Melissa, playing hooky, she's writing the recap as she's podcasting with us, and Hannah provides our regular Sunday coverage. And so far, Hannah, I don't have to look research or anything. That means they haven't won at all on Sunday for you. In fact, I don't think they've won Sunday this year. I think the best you've done this year going back to spring training is a tie. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct. I have not got a single win in spring training or regular season. I did get one tie, and that was it. I can't even tell you if I got any last year, like the last month of the season. I don't know what the last one is. We'd have to fact check.
Normally, I'd say, well, okay, now we know it's Hannah's fault, but of course, that's silly. It's all of our faults. Anyone actually even forget providing coverage, just watching the games. It's all our faults because they basically don't win. Dante Jones also jumping on for us. His partner in crime, Malachi Hayes, as well. Joe Reesus from the other coast. We are coast to coast on this live event. Joe finally dipped his toe in the water. He got a loss under his belt on Monday. Oh, this is so pathetic. Malachi and I did a Dugout Metrics podcast recently where we were trying to like squeeze a little bit of hope out of maybe some pitchers coming around. Dante, I'm not sure he's provided us any. Oh, he's still upset and angry. Break it up, Shane. It's 4-0. Okay. I've talked enough. Let's have somebody jump on and just chat about how things are going tonight in your lives, in your White Sox fandom. What's happening, everybody?
Willy Castro? Seriously? Oh. Man.
One homer for their 9-hitter. Yep. Sounds about right.
Hey, Malachi, just like, I don't know, it seems like about 4 days ago we were talking about, you know, like the upsides of Garrett Crochet and that. And okay, small sample size. We were talking then a little bit optimistically about, I believe, 3 starts in the moment. And then since then, it's gotten a little bit more difficult for him. Do you want to change your position, or is this still all pretty?
No, I'm still on him. I mean, you know, like, you can't fake the stuff that he has, even if some of the results, I mean, like, there's a little dinky infield hit right there. I'm not, you know, last week, Alec Bohm saw him really, really well, and just about nobody else in the Phillies lineup did. Sometimes that happens. You know, are we playing for this year? No. So he'll take his bumps, but you can't fake a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and a wicked wipeout slider and a decent enough ability to control it. So, I'm still in on him. Just please, for the love of God, stop starting him every 5 days. Please, give him some rest. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. We know we're not playing for anything, so if this needs to be an unorthodox, 10 days rest year for him, you know, whatever works. Is it like 8-0 by now, or is it? Are we settling in on a 4-0 deficit?
Well, Byron Buxton is at the plate right now, so likely to.
It could change. It could very well change.
It's going to update very soon. Don't worry.
Yeah. Shout out and thank you to Di Billick, who did our coverage yesterday, providing a very entertaining recap, including promotions that she would like to see and that would keep her interested for the rest of the season. It's sort of in the background of what you may be seeing if you're watching us right now. I forget what this was, obstacle course night or something. The scoreboards, there's a fire behind the scoreboard. There's some sort of fire pit you have to jump through. There's a water slide. Frankly, I laughed at all of the ideas she came up with. And please go back and read that recap. If you haven't, again, I don't blame you for not wanting to suffer with another White Sox loss, but this was actually entertaining. So thanks to Di for that. Her poll, one of her polls was had to do with, you know, whether you ever want to see Byron Buxton play against the White Sox again. And I'm pretty sure that 100% of respondents have no choice but to say, no, we would like that to not happen. Although, as I said that, you know, maybe he just struck out anyhow. Other early thoughts on this season, where we're going, where we've been, can we trade ourselves to another team? Thoughts, please.
I guess if you feel like trading yourself to another team, that's, you know, something you can do. You know, I personally don't think I could ever genuinely get there, but I like everyone else, I knew that this team would be bad, but even with that in mind, I am pretty shocked by how bad they have been so far. I mean, this is beyond what I would have expected. I was fairly confident they'd still be a regular terrible team like they were last year, as opposed to one that might set records. I mean, it's uncommon for any team to fail to win to win 50 games, and I'm not confident that they're even going to get there. But suddenly my preseason prediction of 64 wins is looking like a pie in the sky sort of if everything goes right sort of prediction, and that is really, really bizarre. I think the only way to tolerate it is to kind of look at it with a sense of humor and be like, okay, this is so bad that it's kind of funny. And I think that's the only way to get any sort of enjoyment out of it.
That Sox math champion, Joseph Risas, who is admitting to completely, completely bungling the wins prediction for the season, which many people did. A few of us really high up there around the 110 mark are still holding out hope, but even we're like, oh, wow, this team is really blowing us away. Hey, listen, we got a comment here from, it's Hawks with Sox talking fantasy league. Here's the strategy. I believe this is our colleague Christina Erdo, who said her fantasy strategy is just play everybody who's playing against the White Sox, right? That seems, I mean, I'm no fantasy expert, and any of you can weigh in here, but that seems like an extremely, extremely sound strategy. That's free advice to you, Hawks with Sox.
That did not work for me yesterday. Yesterday morning, I picked up the Twins guy, of course, and he gives up the two-run home run. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Of course. So, yeah. Yes. So be cautious. It can work most of the time, but some of the time it comes to bite you in the butt.
This is your first year doing fantasy baseball, Melissa, and how's it? I'm going to guess maybe it's not going well. How's it going for you?
I'm like 500. I'm like right in the middle of our league. So, you know, based on what we're seeing from the White Sox, I will take 500 any day. But I do not have a single White Sox. I take that back. I have Jordan Leisure on my team.
Okay. One token White Sox. That's
probably going to be our all-star anyway at this pace. I mean, honestly, although last night wasn't so great for him, but yeah. That's my only White Sox on my fantasy team.
Yeah. I made a rule of fantasy that if I ever win, then I quit and never play again. So my Chet Lemonheads won once. I did it in football once because I had to. I was actually writing football copy for all of you who may know how much I run down football. Although that's not hot right now because, you know, the Bears are on the rise, right? My Bongo Billiards team won once and I retired forever, but that's no fun, right? See, that's me. I'm no fun.
Kevin,
the rest
Pillar
of you are probably fun.
Kevin Pillar, home run.
They're not going down easy. Words you didn't think you're ever going to hear. So I take it that was a solo show. Wait, that's a 13th home run of the year for the White Sox. Stop the presses. We've hit 13. but still, I'm guessing... last night must have pushed the White Sox above the Mendoza line. I mean, again, this tells you how prepped I am. We are hovering around the Mendoza line, but are we, I mean, powered by Kevin Pillar, we may stay permanently above the Mendoza line based on what's happening so far. So this is a
They were 192, so they still have some work.
Oh, they got some work. Oh, they ain't making it. Okay, that's done.
The closing in, but closing in is very difficult for this White Sox team.
Oh, yeah, I know it's early and there's a lot of games to play. So, yes, of course, 8 points is not that much to make up. But with this lineup and after an outburst like 5 runs yesterday, only gets you to 192. Yikes. Okay, thanks, Joe. I see, look at me. I'm just the only one representing with the jersey. You know, I never do. But I felt, I don't know, it was the right thing to do, or maybe it was the right thing to sort of condemn them to another loss to put them behind the pace. All right, Hannah, way to represent. Okay, all right, it counts. Yeah, chuck it now. Trust me, if I had anything on under this, it would be off. But, yeah, that's me. I'm just a White Sox apologist. Okay, more thoughts about where, because I haven't heard, I mean, we've been checking in, but not very regularly with the Mothership podcast. We had Ladies Night, we've had some Dugout Metrics, we're doing a lot of farm stuff. Not a ton where we're just talking about, and you know, you can understand to all you beloved listeners, readers, viewers, why we wouldn't, but haven't really checked in much. You know, more thoughts about where you're at with this team. There's been a lot of talk on our site about that this is sort of this is actually getting a little, I dare say, fun. In that there's no stress about this team being bad, and it's almost delightful to do things like a futility watch.
Corey Lee Bonds.
According to John Schriff and Corey Lee.
But watch, Martin Maldonado will be playing tomorrow. Yeah, he did
on that ball, though. Yeah, he hit the shit out of that.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they play for a reason instead of using, you know, the old guy that can't hit.
No, yeah. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, Corey Lee is one of the very few. Melissa's already mentioned and repped Jordan Leisure, but there are not many positive points. And Corey Lee turning around, I mean, again, small sample size last year, but he was god-awful last year. Him really turning around every aspect of his game is, I mean, that's got to count for this early month season as something pretty darn encouraging.
Yeah, he saw Edgar Caro putting up a 1.1 OPS in AA and said, I'm going to get my shit together.
I even want to be a backup for the next 5 years. Yeah, no kidding. And he, hey, to his credit, he has. I mean, this at some point, it's not a mirage. He had a pretty darn good spring, and you know, he's carried that over.
On that note, I'll do my good duty and try to walk us off the ledge.
Okay.
Just with a reminder that, you know, there's a world in which this trajectory ends up something like the 2022 Reds, which, you know, you've been tracking it. They started 3-22, actually 2 games worse, and they lost 100 games, and it's easy to forget. Also, that same year, around that same time, we were talking about the New York Yankees challenging 116 wins. They were something like 40 games over 500 at the start of July, and they wound up not even winning 100 games. It's a long season. And not to be a slave to the law of averages, but it does tend to come back there sooner or later in one form or another. Maybe it'll be when we start seeing some prospects and, you know, fewer Paul DeYoung and Nicky Lopez ABs later in the year. But it's just really hard. They're not going to it's impossible to be this bad for that long of a time. And, you know, maybe it'll be 110 losses or 105 losses, but that's my little bit of perspective.
Sure. And back on the ledge, the 2024 Chicago White Sox say, "Hey, Malachi, hold my beer." I mean, you're right. I mean, the numbers should smooth in some way that, you know, it's not going to lose 150 games, but they do have to start winning. We knew this was going to sort of be a. We always talk about like. And then the schedule's going to be tough, man, this run of the schedule. So we've been doing this for like 2-3 years, and at some point when you're this bad, you know, there's really no break in the schedule. So, yeah, pretty much the next 140 games are going to be tough ones for the White Sox. All right, Malachi's saying, hey, sunshine, roses, milk and honey flowing through the streets. I love it. There's four others of you. Where you at?
I agree to an extent, honestly, because – it is such a long season, and we see a lot of teams the opposite. Never like this bad or this good, but in April either get off to really hot starts, mm-hmm. like, and you think they're going to win it all, and then they just fall off halfway through the year and vice versa. So I think that since it is a long season, there is a lot of time to turn it around. And I'm not saying that they're going to do that. I have close to no faith, but I do think that it would be insane to see this happen the rest of the year. Like it would be so bad. Like, I just don't think it's possible to be that bad. Right. Like, I don't know, but that's the way I see it, is that it has to get better because it's already the worst it can be. So I think that it will, even if it's just a little bit, but they've surprised me enough being this bad. So I don't know.
Yeah, somebody smarter than me with the numbers can say, isn't there some adage where it's like, if you're winning the division at the end of, at the start of May or whatever it is, there's a pretty, I don't know what the percentages are. Somebody smart can tell me. But let's just hope it's not, the reverse isn't true. If you're in last place at the start of May, or if you're on a record-breaking lost pace, that you're destined to have that play out as well. But, all right, Malachi and Hannah, both with a little bit of hope. Hannah's somewhat confused, but with her hope, because I can understand there's going to be some turmoil in there. But other thoughts, Melissa, Joe, Dante?
I'll put it like this. Is like Maki and Han have said, it has to get better. At the same time, holy shit, do they suck. So, better is cool and all, but it's easy to get get better than this. Like, it's not like you're climbing Mount Everest right here. You're climbing the hill that, like, my high school used to have in the middle of the football field. Like, that's a level of gap you have to, I mean, a hill you have to climb at this point.
Yeah.
So they'll get better, but not, they'll get dragged to getting better. Like, choking, screaming, but they'll be better than this, because if they're not, I don't know if we'll have a guaranteed right field to go to next season, because fans might just take that over.
Yeah, we don't know the statement. It probably had to do with profanity, which, yo, believe me, all of us feel that. All of us feel that. Dante often has the courage to throw it down, but yeah, we're all feeling it. Listen, Joe, I'm assuming there's a little bit of sunshine in you as well. Like, this just can't be.
A little bit. I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I definitely think that my 64 win prediction was too high. But I looking at some of the historically bad teams, like the 03 Tigers and the expansion 1962 Mets, I don't think they'll really make a challenge toward either of those teams. Last year I was kind of thinking that, you know, the A's had a chance of doing that, but, you know, they had a couple of good weeks randomly mixed in there that, you know, if you can just string a couple of those together at some point during the summer, odds are you'll be able to avoid, you know, losing 120 or getting super close to that figure. I do think that they're on a similar path, though, to last year's A's. Like, this will probably be the worst team in White Sox history, which was, 106 losses.
Yes, sir.
So I do think that they will beat that, but I think they'll be somewhere between that 56 win total and 50. Like, I'm thinking low 50s is where I would predict right now.
It's stunning to remember. I mean, it's just a year how bad the A's started last year. As I'm doing all these little futility watch updates and tweeting out after every loss, well, now there's only two teams worse than the White Sox, etc. That the A's were like, their run differential was like worse than negative 100, and you know, there's nobody in baseball history has come like within 20 runs of that. Obviously, things evened out at some point, to the point where there was a while there that the Royals and the A's were sort of like neck and, well, close to neck and neck. And the run differential didn't necessarily translate into record, but yeah, you know, talk about a god awful team. And you know, hey, way to go, White Sox, for sort of picking up the mantle and saying, you know, every year's just got to have one of these, so we're going to be that this year. Hey, Melissa, how are you thinking about those White Sox being the team that says, hey, let's be one of those this year?
Yeah, I appreciate the hope and the optimism of my colleagues. I honestly do. But I don't see it. I mean, especially with Robert and Mancata, I just don't see them being able to score any more runs than they're scoring right now, which is not very many. Like what? Like two a game, none a game. I mean, I don't see a path where this offense gets better this year, and the pitching has to be perfect. And like Maliki said, you know, there's going to be, you know, growth issues with all these young pitchers that we have. And so you can't expect them to be perfect. So with them not going out and, you know, blanking everybody every single game and us not being able to score any runs, I just don't see a path where this offense is going to be able to do anything better than they're doing now. So I think they could be real bad, like 40 in the 40-ish wins bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something that Lee Allen has brought up many times. And Lee, unlike even me, lived through, although I don't think quite yet as a White Sox fan, so somehow he became a White Sox fan after the team lost 106 games. But one thing he's brought up a few times is, I mean, obviously Crochet's live as we're talking, struggling a bit. But even the guys you might consider to be the, I mean, at some point it was Michael Kopech, but now he's not even, you know, in the rotation. You know, guy looks like Crochet, as Malachi mentioned, you know, give this guy plenty of time. Now, whether it's a joking 10 days of rest in between starts or not, this is a guy we're not going to depend on for 36 starts, maybe not even 26 starts. So even the best of these arms, as we saw with the two young guys, great starts from Nestrini and Cannon, and then the next one's, you know, not as much. You know, the success of the pitching is, I'll say likely, but definitely likely to be a mirage. You know, the bullpen pitching as well as it is, until maybe we start to get an influx of the talent that might not miss a step from Double A. I mean, there's not really anybody at Triple A from Double A. Do we have hope maybe in the second half of this season to start stringing together some wins and maybe escape less than 50 wins or less than 60 wins? But that remains to be seen. Is there hope among you, knowing that there is talent in the pipeline, including Colson Montgomery, who maybe is destined to play on the south side this year, that once there's the talent influx from the minors, and again, that's using the term sort of loosely or in italics, that there's going to be some more regular winning, and that this team is going to find its way, that's going to be easier just to stumble into some wins just because of the sheer talent on the roster, because there's not talent on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think it's already frustrating at this early juncture, again, how many at-bats are being given to guys like Kevin Pillar and Martin Maldonado, who, you know, while I love a good veteran presence and game caller behind the plate, is genuinely one of the worst hitters I've ever seen. And it concerns me that they're going to continue doing that, because one of the biggest issues, as we've discussed before, with the last rebuild and why it failed was because they didn't come out of those losing years with any diamonds in the rough, with any, you know, kids, prospects, non-prospects, waiver wire guys, whatever, that they just kind of threw out there because you needed someone. And, you know, once in a while you get a Cedric Mullins or a Jake Arrieta out of that. The Sox didn't get that, and they're not going to get it again as long as they keep, you know, leaning into Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong because of leadership and energy or something like that. And I'm not even talking about Colson Montgomery or even Brian Ramos. I'm talking about, you know, give Lenin Sosa more than two weeks in the majors at a time before sending him back down. I mean, stop doing whatever the hell it is you're doing with Oscar Colas. It means don't, you know, it means why is Danny Mendick batting leadoff while you're designating Jose Rodriguez for assignment? You know, things like that. That is, you know, you can bring up Colson Montgomery and, you know, let him do what he wants. You can bring up Edgar Caro and see if it brings more people or if it leads to a spark. But I just don't, where I will be pessimistic is that they don't have a good history of not letting those go nowhere veterans suck up way too much playing time. So yeah, here we are.
And in the Charlotte podcast I just had with Jonathan Lee, this came up, so I guess I'll repeat it again. I am certainly not inclined to say anything good about Chris Getz these days. Few of us did, and I used that comment in context of it's great that he has actually scraped up more 4A guys just to throw out there, because one of Malachi's things he said so many times is, you know, you just got to have a couple of those guys strike. You got to trip over a Cueto here and there, and, you know, they did a couple years ago. But, you know, the idea that he's bringing in a couple guys, both, I believe, in Charlotte now. One's playing in Charlotte. One's going to be pitching in Charlotte real soon. Veterans who are utterly useless for the purpose of this team in any way. Even if it was, well, we're going to bring in a rotation starter or Tommy Pham as a desperate attempt to not lose 110, that's not going to work either. Those guys, I mean, you know, you're not bringing in some ringer who just got out of jail, you know, to bring wins. You know, there's no, they're not selling their soul very well. Yes.
But I will say, you mentioned jail and bring someone out of jail. They got somebody that should be in jail. So good job, White Sox.
Fair.
Great job.
Fair enough.
Andrew Benintendi hit an extra base hit. Oh, exit velocity over 100 miles an hour for Andrew Benintendi.
Uh-oh.
He can do that
every day. Uh-oh.
I didn't know he could do that. Wow.
They call him Betty Biceps for a reason.
Yes, one of the promotions for the second half is throw a tomato at Andrew Benintendi, because, sorry, I know that's like singling a guy out, but we also owe him 65, well, we don't, as we sort of do with the fans, $65 million until he finally goes away somewhere else.
Should we also throw one at, after Benintendi, let's bring up Andrew Vaughn for the next set.
Harder to hit him. He's a smaller target. Hey, listen. I'm 5'9", so I can't really disparage Andrew Vaughn. I'm also not a major league first base.
I can't say anything height wise, but the difference is I don't pretend I'm 6 feet tall. Yeah.
And you're not playing first base for the Chicago White Sox either, Dante.
I am short. Like you said, I'm not playing first base for the White Sox.
No.
Being 5'10", maybe.
No. Let's get a couple predictions out there because, you know, all of you just want to talk about, well, I think my wins prediction was a little high. Excuse me. Mr. Holmes is waiting till July till we win a series, and that's against, I guess, our National League doppelganger, the Miami Marlins. No, you know.
Saying that, like, TA and Berger aren't about to go, like, fucking 15 for 17 with six.
Yeah. And- oh, yeah. They're drooling and waiting for that series for sure.
I have a question. Do we think that with those two players on this team, the team would be better right now? Because I do. Specifically Berger, but like even with, and obviously I'm a huge TA guy. With TA back, the team at least has competent. I can watch this guy take at bats to lead off now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if you consider, which is a real diss to TA, sorry, but if you consider him coming back and playing shortstop instead of whoever's running out, whatever weird retread veteran among the 12 that gets signed in the offseason is playing, okay, say that's a wash. I mean, again, no diss, TA. I mean, come on, Jake Berger, yeah, of course.
At least I'd be more entertained on and off the field by it than whatever Nicky Lopez and the corpse of, like, four other vets are. And then, like, Berger would be really nice to have playing third base. I remember a lot of White Sox fans wanted him to do that last season. I was not one of those fans because I don't think his glove works at third base. But, you know, it would have been nice to have somebody playing that instead of, you know, one of them.
I've been surprised to do too much Braden Shoemake this year to not miss Jake Berger, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Jake has like a 6 ERA in AA. That's not good.
That's not ideal at all.
Some trades look like they have clicked. Not all of them have looked like they've clicked. Larry Wilson Jr. with the bold prediction. Unfortunately, Larry was not part of our preseason predictions, and I don't know what he would have said before the season. None of us went as low as 40, but at this point, you know, again, you know, Fangraphs, all of them, you know, they tweak their, you know, playoff probabilities now with like every game. So if I'm going to guess, all of us would be severely altering what our loss prediction total was that we made just, was like a month ago? It was a month ago. We'd already be revising and hoping that we did not write our predictions in pen. So on that note, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take, even though we're doing this live event, you know, we're also going to run this as a podcast. We're all going to just freeze for 5 seconds because this is where we're going to put our break in for the podcast. Because Lord knows, you're going to want to go back and listen to this. You may be enjoying this so much live, Larry, Holmes, everyone else. But, you know, this will give you a chance to relive these wonderful memories. So we'll be back in 1 minute, even though if you're watching this, we're not going anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, we're back for the podcast. Even though we haven't named what podcast this is, my name is Brett Valentini, lucky enough to run these live events and put it and throw them together like 5 minutes before we go live. And I'm sure that type of professionalism is shining through here on our live event on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Parts Unknown, sending it to Mars, where we should send this baseball team. Okay, so let's open up the second half here, providing there's no exciting White Sox rally details for Hannah or Malachi to regale us with. How would you revise your prediction already? And this doesn't have to be win total. It could be who you'd pick as the player you think is going to be the best this year, or the goat of the team, or whatever it is. Let's just touch on predictions for a second and tell me what you'd take back if you could. If you could only pick one thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. The last, I don't know what podcast it was, either Ladies Night or this one. I had said that the offense was going to be better than the pitching staff. Immediately take that back. I don't know what I was thinking. Like on paper, when everybody was fully healthy, like the 1-5, like kind of looked fine with like Aloy, Robert, Moncada, Vaughn, Benintendi a little bit. So it was like, okay, maybe they'll give us some runs. But then as soon as the injuries happened and then just seeing Benintendi and Vaughn being terrible so far, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought that it wouldn't be this bad, but then we got shut out on the home opener. And I was like, okay, shoot. I should have changed it. I don't think the pitching is that good either. I think the pitching in the minors is exciting to look at. But currently, I don't know. Kopech is so up and down. It's like he's always had this stuff, but he just seems to get hit on a lot, like especially with the homers. I definitely need to change that.
Yeah. On paper, you're not wrong, Hannah. I mean, these are actual, even though they've been just like brief glimpses, major league players, major league hitters, maybe not great ones, but major league hitters. The pitching staff, I didn't really boast that at all. So not a crazy notion, but a few of us sage analysts said, yeah, it's a pitching, but we'll see. There's 140 games still to play or whatever it is. God, that sounds like too big an amount. Can we all quit? All right. Other predictions from any of you that you would like to revise, or you can crow about a great one you made. Like if Ryan was on here right now, they would be saying, I outshot you all for losses, so win for me. Things you change or want to crow about.
I was kind of on the fence as far as which new pitcher would be. I had a feeling that one of them would be a pleasant surprise between Soroka and Fetty.
Oh, yeah, you're picking Soroka, yeah.
Yes, and it looks like I picked the wrong one on this one. Yeah. Fetty's been a pleasant surprise. I'll give the front office a little bit of credit there. Of course, that doesn't nearly make up for, everything else. It's been nice to watch Fetty, especially in yesterday's game. He was just racking up strikeout after strikeout. That was very good. Unfortunately, Soroka hasn't been fixed as I was hoping would happen.
Yeah. I think I was with you there, Joe. And here's the thing: at this point, we just need somebody to pitch. So I mean, even if he's pitching poorly, he's alive. And I mean, really, that's like, I mean, I know that's a low bar, but thank God we need the guy to take the ball, and he has taken the ball for a guy who has been away for like 4 or 5 years. Other predictions to change out there, friends?
Melissa, can your dog pitch? Add him to the starting rotation.
He can catch really good, actually. All right. So all right.
Behind Corey Lee.
I'll eat crow on this one pretty quickly. I had Gavin Sheets as the team's worst position player, and I was pretty sick of seeing him on the roster. But I have to admit, it does appear he has made some meaningful adjustments. Mm-hmm. His Statcast page looks great. He's striking out at a league average rate while walking a ton. He's putting the ball in the air more. His swing, he just looks like he's making more solid contact. So, I'll you know, I don't know how good he's going to be necessarily, but I'll certainly take back the worst on the team prediction for sure.
I am not asking for people to vote or comment, but I mean, it's pretty clear Malachi Hayes needs to be hosting these podcasts because he's bringing the proper amount of sunshine and positivity. Look, I said, okay, pick something to regret. He's like, well, you know what? This guy has been much more awesome than I thought. I mean, it helps that he's not potentially injuring himself out in right field, but that's, if it hasn't already happened, it seems like it's coming. Pedro, who we haven't even mentioned yet. Oh, and I guess we will. All right, other predictions before we get to what in the world Pedro Grifol is doing running a Major League Baseball team?
Before we get to that, my prediction that I would like to take back would be Luis Robert Jr. being the MVP of the team, because Luis Robert Jr. is not going to play enough games for that to even be a factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, the one I would have said was the one Hannah said, because I also thought that the pitching would not be as good for him. But, well, she said that enough for plenty of us.
Yep.
But, yeah, Robert, get healthy soon so I have a reason to watch this baseball team.
Yep. Listen, that's honest. That is what amazes me about this great crew of writers, podcasters, comedians, whatever we are here. Opportunity to just shirk it, but LaMotta, Jones, both come on and say, yeah, they're competent. O'Keefe, myself, Sage Bohnbach, we're all like, yeah, the pitching. You're going to bet on something, it's the pitching. But the two who said, you know, I think it's going to be the bats, they've just come out and cop to it right off. Oh, man, that honesty. I love you guys. Okay, it's, well, no more pup, but okay. Melissa, thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm going to give myself some more props because I said that Jordan Leisure was going to be like the best pitcher. And so far, I think he has a pretty good case so far. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy. I'm sticking with that. But I think I had 60 wins. Woof, boy, that is just way too high. I think I'm going more like 48.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All right. That's a fair revision. Okay. If you expected me to eat crow, you know better than that. I'm far too proud and brilliant and genius to admit to that. So I am going to take credit for the fact that from the second this offseason began, I was predicting, even though I had the total wrong, so my prediction actually was just a tie for most losses, but all offseason I've been saying the White Sox are going to set a record, a franchise record, for losses. Now, I eventually have revised that up to, I want to say I was at 108, so Ryan still did outpace me in terms of predictions among all staff. But from the start, I was saying this was going to be a historically bad White Sox team, and okay, it's a small sample size, and things could really turn around. but if they don't, I am going to take credit for having a terrible feeling about this team since, I'll just cop to say the last few months, but it's actually probably been a lot longer than that. Let's move on to our manager. A lot of debate about Pedro Grifol. There's been a lot of debate about Pedro Grifol from the moment of hire, or even when he was rumored to be hired. And we don't have to really relitigate all of that, but he remains the manager of this team. We know the reasons why he might manage the full season. So I guess without specific direction here, some thoughts on our manager. What can be done? Would a change do anything? Does a change need to be made just to do something? The season's lost, right? I mean, this is not a playoff team. So thoughts on what to do with the guy who is, you know, I hate to say it, the face of your team.
Oh, God, that's one of the worst things I've ever had to hear said.
Hey, listen.
Face of the team that used to be my favorite team in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I say used to be.
This is not for the weak-hearted, Dante.
Yeah, when a baseball team signs people like Redacted, they do not get to be my favorite team. That being said, I would say, let's see, All-Star breaks in July. Fire him before All-Star break. Fire him that Sunday, after the last Sunday before the break. fire him. Not because I think it'll change anything this season, but because sometimes it'll light a fire under some asses and get you a few extra wins. Because his thing, Chris Getz isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Chris Getz is going to be here for, I would say, at least 5 years, because that's just how the White Sox operate.
Hey, now you're getting me angry.
I know this team, and you know this team, Brett. We all know this team. I don't want him to be here for another 5 seconds. I think, personally, that Pedro and Getz and Reinsdorf and anyone else that runs this organization should be fired into the sun. But since that's not going to happen anytime soon, you know what? I'll take Pedro getting fired, hopefully, before the season.
Yeah.
And for him to not get fired until the day after the season ends.
Let's just not speak these things into the universe. There's got to be some power to that, right? I mean, you know, I'm not Joe Ouija board, but, you know, it's probably just best not to speak things like this. That's going to be here for 5 more years.
I had people setting up cures to try to get Luis Robert to stay healthy all year. It worked for Eloy a little bit more than it's worked for Luis so far, even though Eloy, from what I've heard, got a splinter in the eye yesterday. So, you know. We take what we can get.
Apropos to the Pedro Grifol discussion, let's just bring out JD's comment here. Really, are you going to bring back Andy the Clown when we have a Pedro Grifol at home and in the dugout? Premature. I don't think Andy needs to come back, at least until perhaps a change is made. Okay.
I remember when Pedro first got hired, and one of the few things that people possibly had to say about him was, at least he's attractive. And, you know, he'll always have that. He'll have a beautiful wife, a beautiful family.
It took like 3 months to change that. But poor Pedro.
Managing the Chicago White Sox, again, I hope whenever he gets fired, he takes a bunch of people with him. I doubt he does, but I hope he does. Mm-hmm.
Getting this close to the White Sox is going to aid you. Now, I don't know how that explains the six of us. We're untouched. Look at us. But, yeah, if you're this close, granted, Pedro's a little closer to that team.
I put it like this. One, he's a little closer. Two, we all follow the rule of being good people. And Pedro seems like a good person, but he also manages the White Sox. So,
yeah.
Those aren't usually
guilty by association. Yes, well said. All right, thoughts on Pedro and whether change changes anything, et cetera.
So I feel that the change has to be made because we're young. We're going young, right? That's clearly, I mean, we're not talking rebuild. We're not saying the word, but we're rebuilding. And we're putting all this, our kind of our eggs into the young basket, and the future is where it's going to be. And I have not been impressed by his handling of young players.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things he was brought in to, you know, he was going to be this great communicator and this, that, and the other thing. To me, he has not done that at all, but especially with these young players. And, you know, the way he caters to the veterans, regardless of what they're doing. And so he is not the guy to help.
Wait. Melissa, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I'm getting a feed. Okay, hold on. Off camera, sorry. He's not going to appear on the podcast. It is, wow, in game. It's Oscar Colas. Creo que sí. Okay, we do have confirmation from Oscar Colas that Pedro Grifol does not handle young players very well. Sorry, did not mean to interrupt, but I mean that's, you know, once in a moment to get a chance to talk very briefly there with Oscar. So please continue, Melissa.
No, and the playing the Martin Maldonado over Corey Lee kind of thing. I can't see where he is the guy that is going to drive this young talent forward. And so I think because of that, you've got to go. He's got to go. And so to me, it's the sooner the better, because we need to start rallying around this. We're rebuilding and we're having a young movement, whatever. Like, he needs to go.
Right.
There's no reason for him to stick around now. Like,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. We're gonna sidebar this topic. Hold on. Hold your Pedro thoughts, because, sorry, no other players from the Knights dugout are breaking in to the podcast. But tell me something. Does anybody have, the five of you, tell me something that Martin Maldonado has brought to the team? It's very popular to dump on him because he's hitting 0-0-1. He can't frame. He doesn't seem to have anything. Aside from being the one in the locker room so far, maybe, to admit that they're trying really, really, really hard, which to me translates between the lines, wow, this team's talent is god-awful 40-win level. Is there something, honestly, please tell me, and I'm not looking necessarily at you, Malachi, but I mean, some of you are sunnier than others, what Martin Maldonado is doing on the team, aside from the fact he's paid, they're not going to eat $2 million or $3 million salary or whatever, but tell me something that he is bringing or can bring to this team.
Every time he makes a mound visit and then the pitcher gets the next hitter out, he gets credit for it.
That's yes. Okay. All right.
That is what Steve Stone
means. I was going to say, it's got to be a Stone war.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Even his pitch calling has not been super impressive to me. I'm probably not the best judge of that, but I'm not out there. But I don't know why we're wasting our time with that. I saw Astros fans yelling about it all last year online, and I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you watch the Cannon start, I have never seen a pitcher, especially a young pitcher, shaking off a catcher so much as he was shaking off Maldonado. I was like, what is going on? Mm. So I don't know. To me, that was kind of telling.
Yeah. I feel like it does become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at a point where it's like, oh, he's super heavily respected. You just kind of say like, oh yeah, he's so, so great and helpful. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Speculate. Yeah. You would think he'd be the type of guy like, there'll be a personal picture. Like Lucas Giolito loved picturing with James McCann, for example. That type of thing. But no, Maldi just is a dude that sucks at catching right now and happens to be the guy that they choose to throw out there most of the time instead of one of the younger dudes that could provide actual value.
I'll say something that bothered me from very first game, and it's because it's the one game I've written up. Was lost. And because I did center the entire recap on one pitch, and it was one pitch that was intended to be a fastball to Javi Baez that I did miss its spot, but just the idea that that's the pitch call. Now, I don't know if Martin is calling pitches. If he is, Malachi just said he is. If he is, I mean, you know, shame. Shame. Anyway, is there anything, I don't want to cut anybody else, if there is some hope, if there's a little treat at the bottom of the stocking there that's got Martin Maldonado's stamp on it, I want to know what it is. Is there anything?
He is a nice guy, I think. That is how I would.
Okay. He's not going to like cut, like in the chow line, he's not going to cut in front of a younger teammate and be like, hey, just deal with it, you know.
I mean, if you're hitting, you know, 210 for the year, I don't think you make it 10 years in the making, an asshole.
Right. Yeah, and when you're doing that here and making six, making millions, at least you could be is nice. It's true.
Is he just the new Jeff Mathis at this point? Just absolutely, as you know, Jeff Mathis still had defensive value. Never mind.
Wait a minute. Braden Shoemaker has stolen home. What's going on here? Help me.
So Corey Lee and Shoemaker run first and second. Shoemaker stole the third, actually. The next pitch or a few pitches later, Lee stole second. They threw to second. Shoemaker stole home.
Revenge. Revenge. They did it for Lenin Sosa.
Is that what they call fast?
Yeah.
So are we fast back into this at 4-3, or is the score not even that?
Yeah, 4-3. Okay, I'm gonna admit this right now. Actually playing fast. Oh my goodness.
I have no idea what fast stands for. It just sounds stupid as ever.
Well, when you're 3-20, it can't help but all right. Have we extinguished? I'm sorry for the sidebar on Martin. It came up and I was compelled to bring that up and just survey because I don't have all the answers. But some of you have more answers on Pedro Grifol and what would change if he is changed, replaced, fired, promoted.
Yeah. I want him gone ASAP. I was watching old White Sox highlights today because that's all I do when I get sad about this team. And I just think that they need somebody who's going to get mad, somebody who is going to go out there. I was watching a Robin Ventura against the San Francisco Giants when he went up and was all over the like plate, home plate, and was just kicking it and stuff like that. They need somebody who is going to be mad and be angry. Why is nobody angry? Why is Pedro Cavill coming out every single game just being like, yeah, you know what? We didn't play good, but I'm confident tomorrow. Like, get angry, get mad. Some sort of fire lit so that maybe something will change. Because if you're playing with fire, at least, and you're playing at least good baseball and you're losing, it's better to watch than just what we're seeing now. So I think that they need to – it's clear he's not the guy, and I can't stand it any longer. I cannot – every single day – yes, thanks, Dad. My dad – yes. Like, I can't deal with him anymore. I can't deal with the comments that I see. Every time I see a comment after the game, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What are you even saying?
Yeah.
It makes me really mad. So, yeah.
You don't got to be Ozzy, but this thing where it's just like, you know, thank you, sir, may I have another? I mean, where it's just like, well, you know, he can be ticked that they're not playing fast. He can be ticked. I mean, this year might be a time that it might be smarter to call somebody out. I'm not sure why he was dogging Luis Robert, for not running hard enough to first base and calling up to the press box to let everybody know that he got benched. You know, maybe this – they weren't 3-20 then either. So maybe this is a time, even if it's going to be sort of like a low blow or a cheap shot, do something. He's not proven he can handle – he's not proven he can handle young guys. Not to say lean into that harder, but – jeez, make an example of something. Say something that's more than just some weird-ass word salad. It doesn't even fit well on a T-shirt. It's got to at least make sense on a T-shirt, for goodness sake.
I guess the word to say would be maybe more so passion than, you know, don't go out there and scream that they suck, but have a manager who's passionate, because I don't see that from him. I don't see him putting up a fight when it comes to, like, when's the last time he got ejected? I know he got ejected the other day or whatever, but that was, he wasn't getting his money's worth. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like just, if you're gonna do that, then I don't know. I just like to see a little bit more passion from the team in general, because a fun team, even if they're bad, is better than a team with no passion and no fun.
Yeah, I suppose I'm a little more of a Ken Williams apologist, so okay, here come the Facebook comments. But listen, the guy wore something on his sleeve. We got Han, who's like, you know, sorry, the angriest he got was angry at White Sox fans at Reggie's, for God's sake. You got Getz now, who, you know, is, I don't know, he's trying to, like, be even more, even though he's a player, he's going to be like the intellectual player. He's going to be the dugout metrics guy. Grafal, he's above sweating. Yeah, you want to see, something. Yeah, give me some little facial tick. Give me something. More Grafal thoughts, because, you know, it's fun to talk about a guy who starts the season 3-20 coming off of a 100 loss season.
I do not have much to add as far as my opinion of him as the manager of the White Sox, or really any Major League Baseball team for that matter. I have seen enough to believe pretty firmly that being Major League Baseball manager just is not the right job for him. And I do not want him as the manager of the Chicago White Sox. I will say, though, that I would be less enthusiastic about getting rid of him if it means that they're just going to lazily hire another person without a search. Because they do that, they run the risk of just ending up with a different version of Pedro Grafal, where it's just someone who shouldn't have a job. So I would say that getting rid of him would be sort of a half measure, and one that I would have to see that they actually do a serious search before I am, remotely excited about, the next chapter in White Sox history. Mm-hmm.
See, Joe Reese is not a stadium subscriber, so Jerry Reinsdorf right now is interfering with his negative comments about the White Sox. He's interfering with the signal, but I think we have you back now, Joe. You were freezing up a little bit, but points well taken, and he was never the guy. And yet, now he's the guy. Now he's the guy going into a second season of loss after loss after loss after loss. Malachi, I would like to know your feelings about what to do with Pedro Grafal.
My feeling is that Pedro Grafal is going to be fired on the 15th of May. That's a Wednesday, after their 1 p.m. game. Sox are going to be something like 8-35. That's when enough will be enough, and we will roll with Charlie Montoyo for the rest of the year. It's just such a nothing burger at this point. Like, I think you just gotta. How can you? if you're a rookie coming up into this clubhouse, I don't know how much respect you can have for Grifol as a manager. And shit, at least Charlie Montoya went to the playoffs one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but everything we've seen from Grifol to this point publicly points to him just being not just not a great strategist, but pretty incapable of being a leader as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you just got to get a fresh, by the time, you know, we're ready for Nestrini to really enter the rotation and mm-hmm. for Colson and Caro and then to come up. I mean, I don't think he can be around for that. So
yeah,
that's
Ricky, come back. Ricky, we've mentioned many times that, okay, you can, I think he even gets hit a little too hard for his strategic limitations, Ricky Renteria, but the one thing I think all of us to a person have credited him for is the fact that he was a leader of that clubhouse. He had the respect of that clubhouse, except for maybe Dallas Keuchel, but okay. Dallas Keuchel belonged in a dumpster after 11 starts. And that's not nothing. I mean, that's not all. That's not going to put you in the Hall of Fame, but that's something. That's way more than we got now. And it's sort of sad to think, well, the Ricky Renner, his story is just tragic anyway, getting hosed by two Chicago teams.
I will say about Ricky, my whole thing has always been, like, I think Ricky's a cool dude. My thing has been, it was time for Ricky to go. Who they replaced him with was the wrong decision. And who they replaced that guy with was an even worse decision somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm just, I've like, whatever. Like, Ricky, there's a lot of love for Ricky that I don't have just because the guy didn't win at the end of the day. He was a nice dude that just didn't win. Except for the 60-game season.
Dante, you just never got to taste his ceviche. Okay, and Larry brings up a good point, and that is, and this math isn't airtight either, but man, again, there's smoke here, so there's probably some fire. Come on! Did the guy even interview for the Kansas City Chiefs? They're like, no, we know who we want, and it ain't him! But Sox, the new Royals farm team, you might be interested. We'll give them a really great recommendation. Just don't take the guy we really want. Okay, we're coming up on an hour, and although technically I would want to go long enough to know for sure that we have fallen behind the Cleveland Spiders, and the truth is we don't know that. This team's playing fast. But one thing I want to know before we wind up, dig deep for this one. Tell me something. We're not even midseason, so we're talking about 5 of the months left in the season, right? We got 5 months left, and oh my God, I want to quit. Okay, 5 months left. What are you most looking forward to? It can be a joke. It can be a real thing. What are you most looking forward to as you realize there's still 5 more months of this mess? I'm going to go Brady order, at least to my eye. So I'm going to start with Melissa Sage Bolenbach.
Crap, I knew you'd start with
You can pass. I mean, listen, you know, you're not going to lose points. Okay. You're not going to get fined.
I guess I'm going to most look forward to see who the hell is going to make the All-Star team for this team. Who's going to make the team for this team? I mean, really, like, I know each one has to have somebody. So who is going to pull enough out of the basement to wear a jersey in July? So that's something fun.
Fair. And it's anybody's game at this point. On my grid, Dante comes up next. Dante, you're on the hot seat. What are you looking forward to in the 5-month death march of the 2024 season?
The day that Luis Robert Jr. returns.
Okay.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to.
All right.
I said from the beginning, Luis Robert Jr. is the person I care about this team the most by far. Mm-hmm. Because he is one of the only ones I could see being here on the next potentially decent White Sox team.
Dante, I've missed your tweets when he hits a home run. When he's not playing, I can't get those tweets.
I've missed them, but there's no other person on the team worthy of those tweets.
Yeah.
I try to use my cursing sparingly on Twitter. And thanks to him.
Dante, right now you could tweet for all of them. And what that was said, 14 tweets. You're not going to get carpal tunnel from that. All right, next on my grid is one Malachi Hayes, Mr. Sunshine himself. Hit me with it, Malachi. What you got that you're looking forward to, aside from what you already made? Because trust me, I'm excited now about whatever that was, May 15th or whatever. I've got that circled. I'm excited about that, but give me something else now to look forward to in the next 5 months.
I'm excited for all of the really good teams and players that are going to be coming into town available to see for very, very cheap.
Yep. Hey, you, wait, we have both of you here. You've already taken advantage of the $1 Hannah LaMotta special, correct, this year?
I don't know.
Plus fees. You know what it is, yeah. Well, the $1 ticket.
$1 for a ticket, then. Mm-hmm. That's what I did, yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So, all right, you got company, Hannah. The smart bargainers for good seats on the cheap. Okay, Hannah, what you got?
Honestly, nothing, but I guess the prospects, like, I don't know. I literally am just, I'm waiting for the Chicago Sky season to start. So I have, to watch
that. You know, you can go off the board. I shouldn't have said it was limited to the White Sox. You can go off the board. And I know, you know, probably all of us, Malachi for sure. Don, you know, you're going to throw in on that too. But yeah, okay.
That's it.
That's acceptable.
I'll watch, but it's like, I can't even think. I guess like Luis coming back, yes, that's mm-hmm. going to be fun. But it's just like when he's going to come back, they're going to be like 30 games under 500 at that mm-hmm. point. So it's just, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I'm just, I guess if Colson and Edgar Carroll continue to be good, those are the two people that I'm watching this year from the minor league. So
see, Dante, Hannah's looking forward to your tweets too. Okay, Joe, what you got? From the unique Sox Math Eye perspective, a lot of regret about your win total prediction, et cetera. So now we're putting regrets in the rearview mirror. We got 5 months of lovely baseball to enjoy. You're embroiled deeply this year. I've assigned you that. And you're welcome, by the way. It turned out to be quite a gift to have you doing more minors because it's actually fairly compelling compared to whatever this flop is, as the team is now behind, I believe, according to the ticker here, 6-3. Joe, what are you looking forward to? 5 months left. You got to live through them. Expiring is not an option. We want you alive into the fall. So what's it going to be?
Definitely looking forward to following the progress of the prospects. And I'll give an extra shout out to Samuel Zavala, who I have not on this podcast yet. Whenever there's
Zavala!
In the Red Sox organization, I'm going to be very happy about that. That's definitely, I'm looking forward to seeing his progress. And as far as the major league level specifically, I think one storyline I'm looking forward to following is, will there be any point this season where Andrew Benintendi loses playing time? Mm. And I say this because he has somehow, some way, the richest contract in terms of guaranteed money in White Sox history. So there's definitely some like sunk cost there, and they don't have many options in the outfield right now, of course. On the other hand, though, he has been just terrible. So I part of me wonders how long they're going to let him be this bad without, you know, docking his playing time.
Yeah. Going to give a little more love to Pops out there. It's a legitimate answer. It's a legitimate answer. I definitely prefer, as you can see, so you can see the ring of fire there. I prefer Diabolik's giveaways for the second half. If you haven't read that story, check it out on our site. Entertain yourself. It's probably not the last time we're going to do fake promotions for the rest of the season, because we've got to find something to talk about for five more months. But I'll throw in my answer because I know everybody's holding their breath to find out what it is. But, you know, I will echo a little bit of what a couple of you said, and that is it's weak, it's lame, it's hopeful. I'm not a prospects hound. I don't care if they're not on our route. I sort of don't care if they're not among our 26 playing on the south side. But this is a little different, especially what we've seen, how guys have gotten out of the gate, particularly in Birmingham, Edgar Carroll. Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte. These guys look like what I was hoping for in an offseason podcast, where I think my happy prediction for the year was that some player, I think I said Wilfred Veras, could be him, is going to just force their way onto this team. They're going to blister it so badly, that's a good thing, in the minors, that they're going to force their way, and they're not going to look back. Not necessarily Frank Thomas level, I'll take it, But we've gone a long time before. Tim Anderson didn't do it. He got to the White Sox and he stayed, but it wasn't because it's like, well, this guy is out of this world. I would like to see, and the fact that there's the chance of maybe Edgar Carroll being that guy, maybe one of the pitchers being that guy that don't just, they don't miss a beat. That's a big ask, but other teams get that. Like every other team gets that. White Sox have gone quite a while. I would argue every other team in the majors has had that since we have. Chris Sale, I suppose, counts. So shut up, Brett. Quit whining. It's only been 12 years ago. What are you complaining about? But that's the thing I would be looking forward to. Fingers crossed that at least one of those guys can surface on the South Side. And the minute we see them, we're going to be like, no looking back for this dude. And again, it doesn't have to be Frank Thomas, although I will accept Frank Thomas. And Wilfred Ferris, let's face it, got a little Frank in him, a ton more swing and miss. So, all right. Oh, well. And George Walco. Yes, one day, Larry Wilson, George Walco will be on the South Side, as he dreamed of when he was a little tiny boy. But that's not going to be this year. It can't possibly be this year. All right. Well, you know, when we go past 107, an hour and 7 minutes, which technically would translate to 67 minutes, not 107 minutes, Brett, YouTube will start to charge us. So we can't have that because, after all, we're still sort of a Vox property. Sorry, Vox. Had to get one in. Anyhow, thanks to Melissa Sage Bohmenbach, Dante Jones, Hannah LaMotta, Joe Reeses, who takes this stuff so seriously, he has to leave to get to his minor league update that he is writing for us tonight. He's like, I cannot believe I took an hour to talk about this nonsense when I got to write about the minors. So he's gone. Thank you, super Joe Zavala Reeses. And Malachi Hayes, thank you for providing just a little bit of sunshine in what could have been an even more dour podcast and live event than this was. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to our, 259 viewers. Is that a lot? Is that a little? I don't know. Do we get paid for that? Probably not. Thanks for the comments. shout out to Pops. Thanks for being here with us. And we'll do this again. I guess as long as they're running neck and neck with the Spiders, who's to say we won't just do pop-up live events every night? I know I'm not going to do that because this is already wearying for me, but I don't know. Maybe next week we'll do another one. Anyhow, thanks to everybody for joining us, and to my lovely, wonderful, brilliant, and still remarkably all handsome Southside Sox colleagues here showing up and doing the thing with me. We'll be back again sometime. Tons of other podcasts still coming. You know, it's a podcast world, so, you know, Ladies Night around the corner, Sox Pop on the Farm, Mothership, whatever. There's more stuff to come, so just don't change the channel from this YouTube channel. That's how this works, right?